Have you ever made God a promise that sounded something kind of like this? Lord, if you get me through this, I promise you I'll never miss church again. Or Lord, if you'll just do this for me, I will promise you that that I will do, and then insert whatever that is. I'd say that if you followed the Lord for any amount of time whatsoever, you have probably made some sort of promise like that. And basically you were doing that because you were intending on giving God your word. Now, today it's so interesting that people's word doesn't mean a whole lot anymore. That's the reason we have contracts and everything else. I can remember a day in my life growing up that a person's word was his bond. A man was as good as his word. If he told you he was going to do something, you could rest assured that was going to take place to the best of his ability. And there may have been some issues that may have created some problems along the way. However, the intent was there. Well, today, we're going to continue our look at the Exodus, and we're actually going to be looking at good words that God gave, good words that people gave. And I want to see, as we encounter the Holy Spirit during this time together, what's the Holy Spirit going to say to you in regard to that? So grab your Bible, come on back in just a minute. We're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 19. See you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your week has gone well and that God is being good to you. You're getting through all the push and shove and having a moment to kind of take a deep breath and relax a little bit. Well, as I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Exodus in chapter 19, and we're looking at good words. You know, a lot of times people give their words, sometimes they don't keep up with it. We're going to look at words that God gives us, and we're also going to look at words that we give God. Same thing that happened back during the time of the Exodus. So let's look in God's Word at Exodus chapter 19, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Exodus chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. It says, "In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain." Verse 3, "And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, 'Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, to tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. There are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel.' So Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded them. And all the people answered together and said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do.' So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, again, we ask that the Holy Spirit would work within our hearts and lives. We pray that you will help us, Father, to give ear to what the Spirit has to say. Lord, speak to us now as only you can. We pray that you will move our hearts closer to you, and that, Lord, we will understand that your word is a good word. Father, that your words have meaning in our hearts and lives, and Lord, our words should mean the same to you. Lord, for these moments, I pray that you would bless me as your messenger for the moment, that you would use me and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your people that may be tuned into this broadcast. Lord, we pray lives would be saved, souls would be won to you, and that people would be drawn close simply by gathering around your word. So, Father, bless our time as only you can, as, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, we see that Israel and Moses, they have arrived at Mount Sinai, and this is a place that holds a lot of memories for Moses. This is essentially you know, where his calling started, what God had said to him. And then God actually promised him over in Exodus chapter 3 that he would serve him there. So it's probably a pretty exciting place for Moses as he arrives there. But essentially what happens is, as you know, God speaks to him up on the mountain, he issues a critical challenge to his people. And God issues that same challenge to you and I today. And that challenge can be found in verses 3 through 6 of our text. Now, when we look at it, this is the challenge. The challenge comes out of, look at verse 5. It says, "Now therefore you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandments. Then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So that was essentially the challenge that he put out before him. And essentially, you know, he's saying, remember how I delivered you from Egypt. Remember how I have taken care of you along the way. Now, folks, I want to put it before us as a challenge as well, to simply ask you, is that something that we're doing? Do we remember the goodness of God in our hearts and in our lives? Do we remember how he's gotten us through those tough times, how he's gotten us through tough situations? Do we remember the times that we thought everything was completely hopeless and useless, and yet God showed up in an incredible way and did something incredible in our heart and in our life that only he could get credit for? Remember those blessings. I've said it around here many, many times, that we need, when we see those things happen, we need to run those spiritual markers up the flagpole. We need to have those as times when we can look back over our journey and look back over our shoulder and say, man, look what God did here. Look how he was faithful, and look how you know, he did some incredible things in my life. Do we remember those things? See, God's putting that challenge out essentially to Israel to say, remember what I did for you. Remember how I've taken care of you. You know, blessing. And here's something we need to understand today, that blessings from God are tied to obedience to God. Did you get that? Let me say that one more time. Blessings from God are tied to obedience to God. Okay? Notice what he said, and it's a conditional statement. He says, if you will obey my voice. That's a condition. Are you going to obey my voice? That's the same condition that you and I have today. You know, if you obey God's word, if you obey his voice, if you obey the Holy Spirit, then you will see God bless you in an incredible way. Okay? So think about that for a minute. You know, if you will obey my voice, then I will bless you. He also goes on and he says, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. That means special, and I mean special in a good way. You will be a special treasure unto me. You know, God is saying you will be extremely special if you follow what I tell you to do, what the word tells you to do. If you obey my voice, then you're going to be a particular treasure unto me. He says that you're going to be a kingdom of priests. He said you will be a holy nation. Now, it's interesting that so many people today would sit back and say, well, I want the blessings of God, but I don't want to do all that following stuff. Yeah, I want God to bless me in an incredible way, but I would a whole lot rather just be one of those Christians who just flies under the radar. I don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. I don't want to get anybody worked up, and yeah, to each his own along the way. Folks, be very careful. You know, we sang a song when we were small children. This little light of mine had all the hand motions. You remember that? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And then remember the verse, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. If you're a child of the King, then people are going to see that you are a child of the King if you are following his will and his command. There are some people who go through life and people don't know that they're a Christian. And the reason why is because they look so much like the world that people express them as being with the world. That's not what God wants. He called us out to be separate. He called us out to be that special and that peculiar treasure to himself. And he says that when you follow me, when you're obedient to me, I will make you a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And man, these are good words for the people. Now, as we get down to verse 8, we find something pretty incredible. Verse 8 says this. It says, then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. In other words, what they said was, we'll do that. We're going to be the people who are going to be obedient to what the Lord says to us, what the Lord tells us to do, and we're going to follow him. Yeah, and when you think about that, when you think about that particular statement, when they said, we're going to follow him, these are words that call for full surrender, not partial surrender. Remember what we said a moment ago, there are a lot of people out there today that are Sunday Christians. They look great while they're in church. They show up. But folks, let me tell you something. Are you reflecting what Jesus would be in the hearts and lives of people? Is what you say and what you do, would people see Jesus rather than you? The way that you act, the way that you talk, and the things that you do with other people, you know, would people look and say, that's a genuine, bona fide, born again Jesus person? Or would they look at you and say, well, yeah, you're just like everybody else. You're just playing along. It's just a facade. You don't really believe that. You might believe it on Sunday when you're in church, but it doesn't apply to your life Monday through Saturday. Is that what people say about you? Are you separate from the world? See, when words like this, you know, all the things that the Lord has said, we will follow, they call for a full surrender, not partial surrender. All of the people answered together and said, all. Now, around here, I have a statement that I will say, and that statement goes like this. It's all means all, and that's all that all means. And a lot of times I will sit back and say, all means all, and then the people will respond, and that's all that all means. All the people answered together and said, all of the things that the Lord directs us, we will do. Not just some of them, not just in different areas. I don't want to just say, well, you know what, I will follow him when it comes to forgiving somebody, but I'm not going to follow him when it comes to giving, or vice versa. You might say, well, you know what, I think I'm justified to hold a grudge against that person. You know, okay, that's not all things that the Lord commands us to do. You know, the people all spoke at one time. It's very interesting when you look at that passage to imagine the people all saying in unison together that they were on board with what it is that the Lord wants from them. They all spoke at once. They were all of one accord. They had the same thoughts. They had the same heart. They had the same mind. They agreed to do all that the Lord had asked them to do. Now, we will sit back and we will often say, oh, yes, I will agree to do what the Lord asked me to do. But we will say that in speech, or maybe we'll say that in theory, but that will not be what actually happens. You know, when we sit back and talk about loving one another, you know, do we really love one another? Do we really treat others as we want to be treated? Do we really sit back and consider that little acronym that we were so good at throwing out years ago that was WWJD? You know, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus act? How would he react? You know, many times, if we would think about that, we know that Jesus wouldn't react or act in the way that we have. You know, he wouldn't treat people the way that we do. You know, he wouldn't go after people, you know, verbally. And by the way, that's got to be in your heart. That's not something that you just you shift gears and do. It's who you are, not something that you do. Okay, for all the people to be together in one accord, God can do some incredible things. When people do that, they agreed on doing everything that the Lord had asked them to do. Now, if I were to say in church on Sunday morning, I'll say, well, do you all agree to follow the Lord and do what it is that he wants you to do? Everybody would say, oh, yes, that's what we're going to do. We agree to do that. But yet words are cheap. Actions speak far louder than words. Okay, we'll say we're going to do that, but are we doing that? Are we living our life in that respect? You know, in other words, what happened with the people then was they had put aside their differences. Now, anytime that you get people together, you're going to have differences. You know, it can be 20 or 200, but if you get a group of people together, you are going to differ on different things. But as they came together, they agreed to put aside their differences so that they could be a blessing to the Father. This is something that always brings blessings to the Father. If you've got a pencil around you, jot down Psalm 133 verses 1 and 2, and there's your biblical proof of that. This always will bring blessings to the Father when we put aside differences. It also makes me think of Acts chapter 2. It's a reminder of the day of Pentecost. If you go back and read Acts chapter 2, you see where they were in one accord. They had the same mind. They were unified together. And folks, let me tell you something. If you get a church unified together today, Lord only knows what God could do through that. I mean, think about it for a moment. Look at what he did in the book of Acts. People came to know the Lord because what happened was people saw the reality of who God was in the lives of the people who had trusted him. Man, what a great, great opportunity that we have. So, you know, we're going to have differences. Anytime you get people together, there are going to be differences. But can we put aside our differences to do what is best and what is right according to the Word of God and according to the sake of the kingdom? That is something that each and every one of us need to consider and look at in our lives. Are we doing that? Are we unified as a body of believers as we go forward? Are we willing to put aside personal preferences? You know what? Oftentimes God's going to ask us to do things that are not going to be our preference. Yeah, the question is, are we going to be able to do it? Yeah, most of the time, particularly in churches, the problem is not with what you're doing, it's just how you're doing it. It's a personal preference to either do or not do something. Are we willing to put aside personal preferences to see God do some incredible things in our lives personally, in our lives with our families, and in our lives corporately? Because that's exactly what God wants to do. You know, he said they would... He says that they're essentially saying, we're going to seek your will, God. Yeah, I'm telling you verbally right now that what we're going to do is we're going to seek only your will, not anything outside of it. We're not going to try to mingle it or mix it with personal preference. We're going to seek you, what you tell us to do, the way the Holy Spirit leads us, the way the Holy Spirit guides us. Now, when I say Holy Spirit, you got to understand, yeah, they were telling God through Moses personally in this day. You and I, in this age of grace, we have the Holy Spirit. And we can say to the Holy Spirit, we're going to follow you. You lead us. You speak to us. And we will do what you say. But listen, remember what I said a moment ago. That takes full commitment. That takes full surrender. Not partial commitment. Not partial surrender. Full surrender. Yet Jesus is our example of this. I want you to think about for just a moment. It's a passage that most of us know, and you know we've held to for a long time, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when I mentioned the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, think about Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. He goes into that garden, and he goes before the Father, and he says, yeah, he knows that the crucifixion's coming up. He knows that the arrest, the beating, all the things that go along with it are coming up. And he says to the Father, he says, Lord, if there's a way, let this cup pass from me. In other words, I don't necessarily want to have to go through the beating and the crucifixion and death and all that was to come. But then he said this, and this is a key phrase. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In other words, it's not about what I want, Lord, it's about what you want. I'd a whole lot rather not be crucified, nailed to a cross and die, but hey, it's not up to me. That's up to you. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be obedient to you. So, when we think about that, it's a great reminder for you and I of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, not exactly the way I would have wanted to have done this, but you know what? It's not about me, God. It's about you. So it's all about him. Do we have that sort of mentality in our lives that, Lord, it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about what's best for the kingdom. It's about what you want me to do as a servant of yours. You know what? I will promise you this. That if you haven't already experienced that, you're going to. God's going to put you in a position that's not exactly a position you want to be in. It's not exactly the way that you would want to go. It's not exactly the way you would plan it. But yet he says, nope, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. And you have to be willing to say, Lord, okay, if that's what you want, I'm in. I'm in 100%, not partially. I will give it my very best for the sake of you and for the sake of the kingdom. Can you do that? Okay. Now think about those words as well. These words also, that they not only call for full surrender, but they call for faith. Notice what it says, all that the Lord hath spoken. Not some of what the Lord hath spoken. They were going to be obedient to all that the Lord hath spoken. They believed that God had spoken to them. Plain and simple. They believed with all their heart that the word that was coming from Moses was truly the word of God, and they were correct in their assessment. It was. You know what happens? Sometimes people doubt that God has even spoken to men. You know, sometimes people will sit back and say, well, you know what? The Lord led me down this path. And some people go, the Lord didn't lead you down that path. Or some may even say, you know, the Lord spoke to me. Now, I'm not sitting there saying that the Lord's going to speak to somebody audibly in a quiet place or whatever. I'm not saying he can't either. But that's generally not the way that it happens today. Most of the time, the Lord is speaking to us through his word, through prayer, through the church, whether it's lessons in Sunday school or sermons in church. And he's also speaking to us through godly counsel around us. So remember that prayer, circumstances that you're going through, sermons on Sunday school lessons, your reading of the word. This is how God speaks to us. This is how the Holy Spirit tells us what he is wanting of us. So I believe with all my heart that God is truly speaking to men and women today, okay? Some simply reject the Bible as a history book or God's revelation, you know, and no more than that. They don't believe that it is a living word that's applicable to where we are right now. You know, one of the great things that I have an opportunity to teach at the high school in our Awana program, and I love one of the things that they are to do each week when they go through their lessons. And one of the things that they're supposed to do, one of the last questions that it asks them is this. It says, okay, what is your plan for what you've learned for this week? How are you going to make application in your life to the lessons that you have learned throughout this week in God's Word? I think that's a critical step, and I ask you the same thing. How are you going to make application to what God is teaching you in your everyday life? Yeah, because yeah, just a head full of knowledge doesn't do anybody any good. I said, you know what, you could have gone to medical school and you could have been, gone on and decided to be a surgeon, and you could have had the highest grades in your class, you could have done everything great. But if you never do any brain surgery, then what good is the knowledge that you have? It has to be put into action, and faith is the same way. Are we putting it into action? So the words that the people were saying to God, particularly through Moses, were words of that called for them to have a lot of faith. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And again, they believe God had spoken, okay? Some reject the Bible, like I said, as some sort of history book, but these people were confident that God had spoken to them through Moses, and they were going to obey what it was that God had in store for them. You know, what's he said to the people today? You know, what has God said to you and I today in our day and age, in this age of grace? Well, let me tell you just a couple of things I know that he has said. One of those is he has told us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, okay? He's also told us in the book of Romans that sin brings about death. Okay. And I know y'all are sitting there going, oh, okay, now this is getting all sermony. Well, that's exactly what it is. That's the way that it's supposed to be, because that's exactly what God has said to us. Those are words that you can take to the bank today, because that's what he's saying to us. Plain and simple. You know, man is a sinner. And if a person doesn't realize they're a sinner, then they'll never understand their need for a Savior. So we were born with that sin nature from Adam. And not only that, Jesus loves sinners and died for them. Romans 5:8 tells us that. You know, he gave his life. He laid his life down and picked it up that we might have eternal life. You know, he rose from the dead, and he invites sinners to salvation according to Romans 10:9. But that means, once again, that it's a conditional statement. You know, if you believe in what Jesus did on Calvary's cross and the resurrection, if you give your heart to him, then you will be saved, okay? That requires an action on your part. It's not simple. It's not as simple as saying, oh, well, I'm a good person, or I'm going to do good things, and I got more on the positive side of my life ledger than negative, and I go to church, and I do this, and I treat people good. That's great, but that is not what's going to get you to heaven. I hope and trust and pray that you understand that. I've asked that question so many times in my three decades of ministry, and I said, why do you think that the Lord, should let you into heaven? Well, I've been a good person, and I do this, and I do that. Doesn't have anything, they've never said anything about trusting in Jesus Christ, who paid the price for them. And usually at that point is when, you know, we have to have a little deeper conversation about what salvation really is and how you come about being a saved or born-again individual. And here's something else you need to understand. A person who is a born-again believer or saved person or whatever you want to call it will have the will and the desire to do the will of the Father. So it's believing in Him and doing His will. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of you may sit back and say, oh, Lord, the preacher over there at Central is preaching salvation by works. No, I'm not. You know, I realize we're saved by grace through faith and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But I'm also real familiar with a passage in James chapter 2, verse 14, that says that faith without works is dead. Actually, I think it's James 2:20, where it says that faith without works is dead. In other words, we're not saved because of our works, but our works reflect the fact that we are saved. I hope that makes sense to you. But Jesus, you know, arose from the dead, and He invites sinners to salvation. And sinners who call on Jesus in faith become saved. And man, there's rejoicing of all the saints in heaven over the saving of that one soul. So my question is, are you willing to come to faith in Jesus if you haven't trusted Him? You know, again, I pray that the Holy Spirit's already convicting your heart. If you've always felt like salvation was about being a good person or going to church or doing good to other people, and that was what the requirement for salvation was, you've missed it, if that's what you think. The requirement for salvation is believing and trusting in Jesus Christ and what He did through His death, burial, and resurrection, believing that He's going to be coming back and trusting Him. Would you give your life to Him today? I pray that if you haven't, you'll stop what you're doing right now and simply bow your head in prayer and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. Father, come into my life and save my soul. Then, Lord, help me live for You in Jesus' name. Now, I promise you that if you did that and you meant it, the Lord knows your faith. He's the one who's convicted your heart. He was there. This is not something you just found on your own. The conviction came from Him. So He was calling you before you ever thought about calling on Him. But when you trusted Him, if you did that with all of your heart and with faith, then your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. There's a place for you in heaven. And now the Lord says this. He says, now act like one of My children. Okay, well, how do I act like one of your children? Well, it's right here. It's in the Word. The Holy Spirit will help you along the way. Will you do that? You know, are you willing not only to come to Him in faith, but to live for Him? So these words call for a lot of things. As the people answered and said, you know, they said to Moses in the presence of God, we're going to do all that the Lord leads us and directs us to do. Are you saying that as well today? These words also call for follow through. You know, it's not enough just to simply say it. Everybody in your life has had somebody who has given you great words, but there was never any follow-through. They never followed through with what they said they were going to do. They never did it. They never accomplished it. Remember when we started this Bible study, I asked you the question, has there ever been that time in your life when you said, Lord, if You get me through this, I promise I'll never miss church again a day in my life. Or, Lord, if You help me through this circumstance, then I'll become, you know, a better person, or I'll be a good giver. Or you threw something out there, and then what happened was God actually showed up in your life, but you haven't kept up your end of the bargain, okay? These words that the people gave to Moses to give back to God required follow-through. They said this, we will do. But words are cheap, but they said, we will do. And I've said before, just like a moment ago when we were talking about salvation, it's not enough just to say that we believe. You know, jot this down. If you're having some trouble with it, jot down James chapter 2, verse 14. It's not just enough to say we believe. And I think sometimes people get mixed up when it comes down to the church, and they think, well, I went down and I talked to the preacher and I prayed with him and I've checked off all the boxes, so I'm saved. No, that's a good way to start, but if that's what you think, that it's just simply a process of doing that, then there's a good chance that you may be lost, okay? It's not enough just to say that we believe, because what did we learn in James chapter 2, verse 20? That faith without works is dead, okay? Again, I'm not preaching salvation by works, but I'm saying that our faith, when we trust in Jesus, should produce good works. Remember what He said? He said, you will know them, His people, Christian people, you will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their love. You will know them by their works, okay? Faith without works is dead. I often think about one of my favorite passages in the Bible, which is the prodigal son out of Luke chapter 15. You know, one of the things that was interesting, it says that when the prodigal came to himself, when he began and to realize what he had at his father's house, and he woke up one morning in a hog pen, you know, sharing the slop with the hogs, it says that the prodigal arose and he went to his father. It says, and when he came to himself, he got up and he made that journey back to the father. Yeah, and when and he was rehearsing what he was going to say. I love that. He was sitting there saying, well, I'm just going to go to dad and say, you know, dad, you know, I know I'm not worthy to be called your son because of what I've done. But man, I need a job. Will you give me a job? Because even the people who work for you are in better shape than what I am right now. I don't deserve to be called a son. But I just want a job. And yet, that's not the way the father entreated him. The father saw him coming. He ran to him. By the way, that's a big deal too, because a nobleman, which this father was, yeah, it was a no-no for him to run. That was just his position. He didn't do that. But it says he ran to his son. He was watching for him. He ran to him. He threw his arms around him and he said, get a ring for his hand. You know, get a garment for him and kill the fatted calf because my son, he didn't say my servant, my son, who was lost is now found. And folks, if you find yourself in the hog pen today, then come to yourself and go back to the Father. I promise you, He will be waiting for you. Not only do I think about the prodigal and his son, but I also think about the Philippian jailer who was taking care of Paul and Silas. And I think about what he saw when he saw Paul and Silas after all they'd been through singing praises to the Lord and the earthquake that happened, and you know, all the prisoners could have essentially left. They could have just run out, and that would have meant certain execution for the jailer. And he thought that was what was going to happen. And Paul said, hey, look, don't harm yourself. Not only are Paul and Silas there, Paul says, we're all here. Every one of us are still here. Nobody's gone. That just blew his mind completely. And it says that he took Paul and Silas and he ministered to them, treated their wounds, and all the jailer and all his family came to know the Lord that particular evening. Man, what a great story. I think about the action behind those things, okay? You know, act in faith. You need to act in faith on what God has said to you in His Word. What has He told you? What has He called you to do? He didn't save you to sit. Now, I know some people may not like that, but I'm going to tell you right now, God did not save you to sit. He's got a plan and He's got a mission for your life. Are you on that mission? Okay? So how do we wrap this Bible study up today? You know, good words were spoken, but their promise was broken. You know, they said they were going to do that. You know, God spoke to them as He promised He would in Exodus chapters 20 through 31. And then it just reminds me of the fact that when Moses went up to meet with God on the mountain, that Aaron, you know, all of a sudden makes this golden calf. Remember over in Exodus chapter 32, where, you know, the Lord actually tells Moses he needs to get back down to that camp because these people have gone crazy. And I'm paraphrasing there a little bit. And then when Moses goes back to the camp, he sees them worshiping a golden calf that not only was not something God would want them to do, because He said, you shall have no other gods before me, but it was also one that their co-leader, Aaron, had actually created. I love the excuse that Aaron gets. It just makes me laugh, because when Moses approaches Aaron about that, and he said to him, he's like, where did this golden calf come from? And Aaron says, well, you know, we just threw the gold in the furnace and this is what came out. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. It makes you laugh when you think about it. But yet that was the excuse that he used, and that's what he told him. But see, they broke his word. You know, it's nuts what people would do. You and I do the same thing. I said a moment ago, we have probably been in that situation where we have said, Lord, I'm going to do what you asked me to do, what you want me to do, and we've broken our word. We haven't done it. Breaking covenants does something. It did it for the people back in the days of Moses, and it does it for you and I today. When you break a covenant, it brings about chastening. Because those whom the Lord loves, He chastens. He's not going to let you get away with it. He's going to be reminding you every day. What promises have you made to God? What is it that you've said to Him that you haven't? Did you speak words of faith and full surrender to the Lord? Have you failed to carry through on the promises that you've made, God? Are you a person that's as good as your word? I promise you this, you may not be as good as your word, but God is definitely as good as his. If he makes the promise, he sees you through. And most of us know that. And that's why we feel bad. That's why we feel under conviction when we haven't kept the promises that we have made to the Lord our God. When we haven't been what he's wanted us to be, you know, it brings about chastening. And you can't outrun God. You can't go to a place too high. You can't go to a place too low that God is not going to be there. Did you once make important commitments to God? Did you speak words of faith and full surrender to him and yet failed to carry through with it? Then my challenge for you today is to return to the Lord and receive his forgiveness. I promise you, much like the father of the prodigal, when you return to the Father, his forgiveness is there. But I also want to challenge you to do this. Follow through on those old commitments that you made now. You may not have followed through on them then, but I want to encourage you to follow through with them now. Keep your word. Be the person God wants you to be, because you know what? So maybe God puts you in that situation so that you would make those promises, so that someday you could carry them out. Maybe that's how God's getting you to a place where he wants to use you. Will you follow through with those commitments? Will you say, Lord, you know what? I know I've broken my word to you, but I want to fix it. There's no statute of limitation on that. Get busy with it right now. But the first thing you got to do, run home to the Father. Wrap your arms around him. Ask him forgiveness, and he'll grant it. And then watch what he'll do as you follow through with the commitments that you have made to him. I'll be praying for you as you do that. I want to go ahead and give you what we're going to be looking at next week in the way of the scripture, so that this week you can begin your reading. This week, our Bible readings for this week is actually Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're kind of coming out of the book of Exodus, but that doesn't mean we're done with actually studying the actual Exodus. So Deuteronomy chapter 4 is what I want you to be familiar with through this week. And next week, we're going to look at the God who is there, particularly out of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. So be familiar with Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we will so be looking forward to you joining us back here once again next week as we open God's word and come around it. Let me pray for you, and I trust and hope and pray that your Christmas season is just going to be a wonderful, wonderful Christmas season as you spend time with friends and family. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're so grateful and thankful for the fact that you are patient, that you are long-suffering. Lord, I just pray and ask you right now that as your Holy Spirit has reminded us maybe of commitments that we gave you our word we were going to keep and yet we didn't. Lord, I pray that we will handle those with you right now. Lord, I pray that you will help us to run into your loving and forgiving arms. Lord, may we turn those things over to you. And Lord, as you grant us forgiveness and as you grant us a new chance, may we truly be those who will keep our word as we've given it to you, because Lord, you have always kept your word with us. Lord, I pray that you will give each and every person a special time through this Christmas season. Lord, I pray that you will always make us mindful of why we celebrate Christmas. The reason for the season is the birth of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, keep us ever mindful of that, and may we truly pause amidst the busyness of the season to reflect upon you. So Lord, right now, I pray that you will bless each and every one. Give them a great rest of this week. Use them, Father, for your kingdom and to see the kingdom's work take place. And help us to be aware of when you put us in those divine appointment situations. And may we truly be used by you to advance the kingdom. Lord, I just pray that you'll give us an extra special blessing this Christmas season as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, folks. Listen, once again, if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, you don't have a church home, we would love for you to come visit with us at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North. If you are familiar with the area, the Oak Ridge Military Academy is kind of the central theme of the town of Oak Ridge. We are right across the street, right across Highway 68 from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Our services begin at 10:45. We would love to have you come and join us. And oh, by the way, if you don't have a lot going on, at 6 o'clock and then once again at 6:30 on Christmas Eve, we will be having our Christmas Eve communion. If you've got family from out of town, listen, if you're not even part of our church, we want to invite you to come to Christmas Eve communion. It only takes about 10 minutes. I'm not going to preach to you. Basically, it's a time where we take communion and we pause during the Christmas season to truly remember why we're celebrating Christmas. If you got family with you, bring them. It's a come as you are thing. You don't have to get dressed up. Give us 10 minutes. Give the Lord 10 minutes on Christmas Eve to sit back and say, Lord, we understand why we celebrate Christmas and we thank you for Jesus. We would love to have you come and join us for that, whether you're a member or not. I would love to see you this coming Sunday in the house of the Lord at Central Baptist Church. God bless you and have a great week.